Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 13, Nature of the Enduring Consciousness, Text Number 28. Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Tishtantam Parameshwaram Vinasyat Svas Vinasyantam Vinas Yats vinasyats va vinasyantam vinasyats va vinasyantam yapashanti sapasyati samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram Vinasyat sva vinasyanam shantam yapashanti napashati sapasyati samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinasyat sva vinasyantam Yapasyati sapasyati. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu. Santam parameshwaram. Veshabhuteshu Parameshwaram Vinasyatsva Vinasyantam Yapasyati Napasyati Mamsa Veshabhuteshu Tishtantam Parameshwaram Vinasyat sva vinasyantam yapasyati yapasyati samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinasyat sva vinasyantam yapasyati yapasyati Ladies. Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Tishtantam Parameshwaram Vinasyatva Vinasyantam Napasyati Sapasyati Samam Equally Sarveshu In all, Bhuteshu, living entities, Tishtantam, residing, Parama Ishvaram, the Supersoul, Vinasyatsu, in the destructible, Avinasyantam, not destroyed, Yah, anyone who, Pashyati, sees saha he pashyati actually sees translation one who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed actually sees purport anyone who by good association can see three things combined together the body, the proprietor of the body, or the individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually in knowledge. Unless one has the association of a real knower of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these things. Those who do not have such association are ignorant. They simply see the body, and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished. But actually, it is not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul and the super soul exist. And they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms. The Sanskrit word Parameshvara is sometimes translated as the individual soul, because the soul is the master of the body, and after the destruction of the body, he transfers to another form. In that way, he is master. But there are others who interpret this Parameshvara to be the supersoul. In either case, both the supersoul and the individual soul continue. They are not destroyed. One who can see in this way actually sees what is happening. Om Ganatam Anandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshin Militam Inatas Mansigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovisam Stapitam Inabhutale Sayamupakadamayam Dadate Svapatantikam. So, can we turn that down a little bit? This means Jnana Chakshu, this verse, Jnana Chakshu, thank you. This means to see with transcendental vision. This means to see beyond the external form and see what is there in the spiritual, from the spiritual position. So as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, without having a teacher who is learned in these things and from whom one can learn, it is not possible to actually be able to come up with this idea by oneself. In fact, we see just the opposite, that people who have no understanding of spiritual subject matters, that they come to a very different conclusion. They come to the conclusion that that the body is the all in all. And therefore they think that when the body is finished, everything is finished. So this is the typical situation of most people in the material world. They're in the darkness of ignorance, as we say, Om Gana Tamanandasya, born in the darkness of ignorance, spiritual ignorance. And my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So I've begun writing my book, Spiritual Psychology. And today I'm going to incorporate it into that book, Plato's Republic. Anybody read that? Do we still have to read that in school? Yeah? Or actually, one important part of that book is called The Allegory of the Cave. Is anybody familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're still teaching some basic philosophy, Greek philosophy, I guess. So the allegory of the cave is that people are born into a prison and they're chained to a wall where they can't look right, they can't look left, all they can see is straight ahead. And behind them, there's a fire, and some people are moving some statues around, some forms that cast a shadow on the wall, and all these prisoners can see is the shadow that's cast on the wall. So this is their understanding of reality, that because they know nothing else, all they see is shadows, and they just think that this is it, this is everything. So by some mechanism, which we're not informed, one of the four prisoners is freed. And so he can come up to behind and he can see the fire and he can see the statues. And then he gets some understanding, oh, what we're seeing is not the reality. This is the reality, huh? The fire and the statues. So he's thinking like that. And now I understand what's going on. But then they take him outside into the sun. And, of course, the sun hurts his eyes. So the only thing he can see at first are the shadows that the sun casts on the ground. And then his eyes adjust a little more. And then He can begin to make out animals and trees and people. And so he's thinking, wow, oh yeah, this is a whole different reality. This is the reality. And then a little while later, then he gets, he sees the sun. And then he begins to understand that actually everything is coming from the sun. The fact that there's sunlight means that he can see all these things. And the fact that there's sunlight means that everything, the plants and so on, can grow. And then he understands the sun as the source or the cause of everything. So it's very interesting. I was reading on Wikipedia how people generally interpret this allegory of the cave. And in fact, ironically, it proves Plato's thesis that people are in ignorance and they can only see what's in front of them, because the general interpretation of this allegory is that it's about education. And the person who's chained in the cave, they're, of course, in ignorance, but then by further education, they get to realize greater and greater truth. And that's all they can see there. They can't see another level of understanding. But, of course, one who's trained in spiritual subject matter can immediately see that the allegory of the cave actually represents the conditioned soul. The people who are chained in the cave represents the conditioned soul who's blind to to spiritual reality. And that by gradual education or realization, spiritual development, one gets to understand more and more and more of the reality until finally seeing the sun represents coming in contact with God. So, it's a irony that's lost on the people who are interpreting this as education, because it really is an allegory about spiritual development. So this verse is talking about seeing the super soul, seeing the spiritual truth or the spiritual reality, but without being educated in the truths of Bhagavad Gita, or then one cannot even understand what's that. So at first, of course, initially, we see in a very superficial way. This represents, in the allegory, represents the person who's freed from the chains and he can see the fire in the statues. So we may even hear about some spiritual truth, and we understand it in a theoretical way, but we can't really penetrate it very far because we're covered by ignorance or illusion. And we require purification to be able to see more. So we see in the beginning externally, we see people who are dressed as devotees, and we say, oh, this is a devotee. And normally, at least for many, many, many devotees, they read the books first before they come to the temple, and then they think that everybody that they see in the temple is a pure devotee. Would that it were so. But that's how they see, because they've understood a little about the book, and they come and they see externally these people are dressed and they represent what I've read in the book, and they must all be the living example of what I've been reading. So of course that takes some time till we come to that stage. After some while, varies for different devotees. But after some while, we come face to face with the reality that, hey, wait a minute, these people aren't behaving like pure devotees. Something's wrong here. So we can begin to see a little more of the reality that goes beyond the superficial covering. And, perhaps we can also begin to discriminate between who is an advanced devotee or who has some actual understanding, and those who, let's say, are Kanishtha Adhikari, those who are beginners and whose behavior does not match the teachings. But then we want to make progress further to where we can actually discriminate very effectively between the four kinds of people: God, the living entity, the innocent, the envious, so based on that discrimination, then one learns how to behave differently with different people. That we offer our obeisances to the Lord, to the advanced devotees. We serve both of them. We make friends with those who are our peers. We instruct the innocent, and we avoid the envious. So that's another level of realization, to be able to discriminate like that. And then the next level of realization is to actually come in contact with a super soul, to be able to hear the super soul within and be directed by the super soul. So seeing the super soul does not necessarily mean seeing with the eyes, but it means contacting the super soul and being able to discriminate the voice of the super soul from all the other voices that are rattling around in one's consciousness. So last time I gave Bhagavad Gita class before I left, we were talking about doing that, that we would have some little experiment. Some of you agreed to participate in listening to the voice of the super soul, and then, or let's say, trying to hear the voice of the super soul and then following that voice or not. So did anybody, was anybody able to carry out that exercise? Yeah? Okay. So what's the report?
Yeah, report is like this. You should first discriminate what is the super soul and what is the mind.
Uh-huh.
It's different, you know.
Okay, were you able to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I have some quite nice experience. It's like if you follow your mind, you know, it's just to put you in the dance, you know. No, I'm not serious, you know.
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But if this is super cold and something, how to say, something which is look so heavy and horrible, and it's turned to something good, you know, in the end.
So, what's the bottom line? You were able to do that? You were hearing that? You were following?
I was actually recognized.
Okay.
Mind
okay, good. But the fact that you were able to be conscious enough to pay attention,
yeah.
That's a big step. Because usually, as we were saying before, everybody's going around unconscious, just like automaton, and whatever is going on up in the consciousness, we don't make any discrimination.
How you said, it's a big step to just to recognize that, just to catch yourselves.
Uh-huh.
That's me or this one.
Good, good. Who else wants to share? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a question or what?
No, it's just a, you know, an add-on to experience. This, I view it this way. Warmer, this is right direction. Colder, going to the right.
Okay. And so you're making some progress with that then? You're getting warmer? Or did you get colder? Or both? Good. Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah?
When you were mentioning it in the class, suggesting that we could make an experiment, I was immediately horrified. I'm going to try to serve and live my life with material according to what I've learned from Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm not trying to hear the voice of Paramatma, which is anyway too high for me. Because I think it's higher to hear the voice of Srila Prabhupada than to hear the voice of Paramatma.
Okay, well, that's the beginning. For one who is neophyte, the super soul appears externally as the spiritual master. So one then follows the instruction of the spiritual master for the purpose of eventually coming in contact with the Supreme Lord in the heart. Ladies, did any of you try? Yeah? Is what?
Psychic. You know, gives you an instruction or gives you like an opinion on some things, but you're in the darkness of you don't really know until it unfolds. But then the mind is actually attached to some past events and some material things, and it will circulate around these things, and you know them. So it's more easy to actually follow the mind than the super soul. Like, because you trust the mind more. Okay, I know these things. And then the super soul will tell you something that is totally new, and you cannot know if it works or not.
Yeah.
If you don't try.
Yeah. So that's what I was explaining when I was speaking about that, that it's not so easy, that there's mistakes that are made. And I was quoting from 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna explains, and all activities just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Be conscious of me as the super soul. And I was explaining then that, okay, now if we can hear that voice, now we have the choice of surrender. Do we follow? Do we listen to what the super soul is telling us to do? And I was explaining that usually, at least in my experience, there's trial and error there. And, by making mistake, and every time that I would say no to that voice, later I would realize it's a mistake, and by the mistake, I would understand, that was the super soul telling me. And simple things like that, that I use in these examples. I remember one time I put my keys someplace, and the super soul told me, don't put your keys there, you're going to forget them. And I didn't do it. And then later on, I'm looking for my keys. Oh, yes, that was the super soul. So in this way, by this trial and error, I was gaining experience to understand how Krishna, he can say any kind of thing. And I learned from my mistakes. Then I came to the point when I would hear some voice, and I would say no. And that was my clue. Okay, I said no, then I should pay attention. Because this could be the super soul. And I would stop and I would think about that. I would look at that. So we want to actually come to that point of connecting with the super soul. Where'd the clock go? We want to be able to see the super soul like that. So one who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, so not just in our own body, but in all bodies. That means that we see with transcendental vision, that we see beyond the body, and we see, oh, this is not a woman or a man, this is a spiritual. Thank you. This is, we see the person, the spiritual person within the body and the super soul accompanying them. So, one who understands that neither the soul or super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed actually sees. So, earlier in Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, it's explained that which is existing has no cessation. And that which is not existing has no endurance. So meaning the material things of this world, they do not endure. They are only existing for some time. And so that's what this is referring to here. One who sees that which is never destroyed, the soul and the super soul, he can see. So he's seeing reality, the reality of the spiritual truth. So we can practice like that also. It's not just a matter of hearing the voice of the super soul, but just practice to see with transcendental vision. That when we see, especially for the men, and I've done this one too, this is my own experience, see a pretty girl and the eyes immediately the one to go enjoy the mind, and then try to remember the super soul. Oh, this person is a spiritual being. I'm looking at the external form, the body, and my mind is trying to enjoy that. So let me bring Krishna into the picture and realize that, oh, yes, there's the soul, there's the super soul there. And then everything changes. This takes away, this robs from the mind its ability to enjoy the beauty of the woman or whatever else it might be. So to bring Krishna into the picture, just for example, in Brahma Samhita, where at the end, where Lord Vishnu is telling Brahma that, my dear Brahma, whatever you see, if you see it without having any connection to me, know that this is my Maya. So whatever we see in this world, if we don't see it in connection with Krishna, generally then we're seeing it in relationship to our own sense gratification. Can I enjoy this or not? Do I want it or not? But by bringing Krishna into the picture, then we actually see the spiritual reality. And this is very difficult to stay in Maya when one's actually seeing Krishna or bringing Krishna into the picture like that. So one can also practice that kind of spiritual vision to help, especially if Maya's attacking, bring Krishna into the picture. And then Maya has a hard time. It'll be difficult to continue to try to enjoy whatever it might be as long as one is seeing Krishna there. Okay, so we'll stop for discussion.
Why there is no super soul in the spiritual world?
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah. I'm not remembering. Might be in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. But the understanding is that the body is dear to everyone. And why is the body dear to everyone is because the soul is inside. But then the soul is actually dear to us. In other words, our own existence is dear to us. Why? Because the super soul is within the soul. So this, you remember that one? Yeah. It's there. Why are you doing like this?
I don't recall finding this one.
I'm sorry?
I don't recall finding reading that.
Oh.
I'm not,
it's a little vague where exactly it was. But somewhere. In other words, Krishna's the heart of our heart. Like that. And because Krishna is the heart of our heart, we have some attachment to even our own self. Just like the body, we're attached to the body because we're inside. Does that answer your question?
No, because I thought in one commentary in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that there is no super soul in the spiritual world.
Really? Oh, I don't remember that. That's interesting.
I could find it. And
it's probably, yeah, find it. Let's talk about it next time. Or if you can find it that quickly, you can look. Here. It's probably in this chapter. This whole chapter is about the super soul.
Special of these queens. So there is also mention when Arjuna was not able to defend these queens. So because this day was attacked. Actually, what's really happened with these queens? What is day?
What happened with what?
The queens.
What to the queens?
Yeah, what's happened actually? Some more information about these things. Actually, what's happened?
Well, as far as I understand, they were attacked by who? Cowherd men.
Yeah, and they beat Arjuna with the sticks.
They wanted to kidnap the queens or what?
Yeah, they took the queens away.
They did. Oh. It's not just in Cologne, huh? Okay. Anyway. He knows, he can remember it better than I can. What happened? I don't remember.
How somebody can touch on the queens, you know?
I don't have an answer for that. Sorry, I don't know that pastime well enough, and I don't remember if there's some commentary about that. So, useless for me to speculate. Sorry.
I found it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. There are no spiritual diversities in the Brahma Jyoti as there are in the Vaikuntha Lokas, and the impersonalist accepts the Brahma Jyoti as the ultimate eternal goal. The Paramatma manifestation is also a temporary all-pervasive aspect of the Shodakshaya Vishnu. And the Parama manifestation is not eternal in the spiritual world. Therefore, the factual absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He is complete. He is the complete energetic person and possesses different separated internal energies. Thank you very much. That's nice to read. Let me continue reading that. In the material energy, the principal manifestations are eight, as above mentioned. Out of these, the first five manifestations, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, are called the five gigantic creations or the gross creations, within which the five sense objects are included. They are manifestations of physical sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. The material science comprises these 10 items and nothing more. But the other three items, namely mind, intelligence, and ego, are neglected by the materialist. Anyway, it goes on. And that's the commentary on the shloka. Earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, false ego, all together, these are my separated material energies. Thank you. So maybe that one quote that I'm remembering, maybe that just applies to the material world. Sounds like it.
Maybe there are no demons in the spiritual world either. However, there are talks about them. So because that facilitates the pastimes. So maybe similarly to Paramatma. It doesn't exist in the spiritual world, but there is knowledge about him because it facilitates the pastimes.
Could be.
I've heard that when you enter the spiritual world, that the Paramatma, it only reflects so that you see Krishna face to face. So it's like it goes from out of the super soul, goes out of the individual soul, and you kind of look to it. So it's not part of you anymore, but it's a relationship. I've heard it like this, my explanation.
Okay, thank you.
So there is no need of Paramatma as the spiritual. Because Paramatma is more a description.
Yeah, actually, as we're reading in this chapter, in chapter 13, that the Paramatma is there to help the living entity remember his previous desires and to direct him from within to satisfy his desires. But that's all happening externally, or let's say directly with Krishna in the spiritual world. Still, somehow or other, Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, he understands the heart and the mind of the devotee. And he acts to fulfill their desires there also. We'll have to study this subject some more. I can't give an immediate conclusion on that.
How can you see others like that? Souls, like
eternal
beings.
Like a what?
Like a soul, like other people.
Spiritual.
How do we see them as a soul?
Yeah.
This means just to remember that they are a spiritual being. So when we see the form, just to remember this Bhagavad Gita, right? The soul is living within the body. And by remembering that, it's not that you have to, like, you know, see with x-ray vision like Superman. But just to remember, this person is, he can move around because there's, the soul is inside. It's the soul that's giving energy to the body. So to see that means just to remember that. Okay? Yes?
There's also like an interesting trick, so to say. When you talk to people, if you look into their left eye, because the soul, it's Paramatma sits like here, and if you look to the left eye of the people, it's a lot different. I don't know. Maybe just by experience. You try to
I can't hear that completely. I'm not sure exactly. You have to shout. I'm an old man. I have to go get hearing aids or something, so, because I can't hear. Sorry.
If you look at people to their left eye, with your left eye to their left eye,
yeah,
you get a much different connection with them. Because you say that the Paramatma lives here, you know, it sits in the heart. So if you kind of look at the person with the left eye, it's a different connection. I don't know, maybe it's just me.
Where did you get that?
Experience. I tried it. I talked with other people, they also said it's different.
Stay after class, I want to check you out.
I just tell a short funny story. A devotee I know was selling prasadam cookies door to door, and he ran a lady open, so he offered them to her. She said, just a moment, I'm going to get the money. So she went sideways to the side room, and straight ahead there was a corridor with a glass door, and behind the glass door there was a big dog looking at him. And he's waiting for the lady to come with the money, and he's looking at the dog, and he's, you know, big scary dog, growling at him. And he says to himself, I'm going to try to see Paramatma in the heart of this dog. So he tries, looks at the dog in the face, and dog just winks at him with one eye.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Shout.
Allegory of the cave.
The allegory of the cave, yes.
In this education that a conditioned soul is blind for not having spiritual realization.
I can't hear you.
That conditioned soul don't have spiritual realization. Is disconnected with, we also mentioned the vision of the Shastra, that we, for example, we were looking in the Shastra chapter that we see every soul
see through the eyes of Shastra and we see every person as spirit soul. Yeah.
How we can, I want to connect it with this allegory, how this blindness can be cured by this vision of the Shastra, because...
Let me explain the allegory a little bit, because I haven't thought about it in terms of the super soul. I didn't connect it like that. When the chained prisoner, when he's chained to the wall, this is like the person who's in complete ignorance of spiritual truth. When he's freed and he can get up and he can see the fire and the statues, this is like dogmatic religious belief. He hears about religion. He understands there's some truth, and it may be, have some little understanding, but his understanding doesn't go very far. It's just, it's still superficial. It's not the reality. They're just statues. They're not living things. But then when he can go outside the cave and see the living things, so this is compared to a person who has actually partially realized the truth, perhaps up to the states of super soul, or maybe something like that, some partial realization and full realization of seeing the sun. This is realization of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Does that help? I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, it was... it's like this. It's how to see the whole picture in the way of Shastra.
How do we see the whole picture through Shastra?
Yeah, the real... because this allegory is the case that so you cannot see the real picture.
Well, the first thing is, of course, we have to know Shastra to be able to remember. So how can we see Krishna everywhere, for example? So Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. If we remember that when we see the sun and the moon, oh, here is Krishna. I'm the taste and water. I'm the ability and man. I'm the sound and ether. So in all of those things, when we contact them, we can remember Krishna in this way. Stay connected with Krishna. That realization is not the same thing as actually, seeing Krishna manifest before you. Right? It's a different level of understanding. So it's, in one sense, it's Krishna, yes, but it's not personally Krishna. So it's a different stage of understanding. The first thing to see Krishna everywhere through Shastra, this is to help us become used to thinking in terms of seeing God everywhere. And so Prabhupada would give the example that, for example, a mother, she's so much in love with the child that she's everything is connected with her child. So when she's picking up the clothes of the child, she's thinking of the child. And so we can also come to that stage of love for Krishna that when we see anything, I forget the Sanskrit, but it's still too vague. For example, when one would see, for example, the peacock feather or Krishna's flute, this then reminds them of Krishna in so much that they actually go into ecstasy. Yeah. Thank you. So, like that. So it's different, it happens differently, it's different stages. But, the love simply increases, becomes more and more tense and more real. Does that answer your question? Okay. Sorry.
I have some experience on this exercise.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I have to do something very quick. I don't listen to the mind who says you want to be able to succeed, but I don't listen to the mind to do it. Always run off. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes the mind wants to discourage me.
Uh huh. Yeah. Good. Very good. That's progress. Let him translate.
Is there a possibility to connect the Paramatma and the mind that they will work together?
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, well, not to connect it with the mind, but to connect it with, with the consciousness.
The mind would serve the Paramatma.
Yeah, so, you see, in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it explains that from one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is reached. Right? So, we can't discriminate what is the voice of the super soul unless we brought the mind under control. But Krishna is explaining there that one who's brought the mind under control, now they can actually distinguish between the voice of the super soul. So this is the idea. And actually, what happens is when the mind comes under control, he's not this like wild horse, you know, that's running all over the place and carrying on. But he actually becomes submissive and becomes a servant to help the devotee in devotional service. So this is why Krishna calls him the controlled mind is the best friend. And that controlled mind then is submissive to the voice of super soul. So that's the goal. That's what we want to do.
Great servant's terrible master.
Huh?
Great servant's terrible master. The mind.
Yeah.
I just thought about one. It's kind of a joke about not listening to the mind. That if the mind says, take these two pieces of sweet, you don't listen to it. You take four.
That's good. Yeah, good. Oh, where? Oh, yeah.
I was just contemplating on it. We mentioned how in spiritual world there is no need for Paramatma. Maybe because there is no need for such like intuitive guidance, because everything there is really clear and it unfolds according to the plan. So everything that happens, like the consciousness, is so widely open. So everything just makes sense, and you don't have to like make sense out of it. It makes sense as it is.
Could be. That's sounds reasonable. But there's still this idea that Krishna, he understands the mood of the devotee, and he reciprocates exactly in the way the devotee wants to be reciprocated with. And so how is he doing that if he's not understanding the mind of the devotee as the super soul? Can he do that externally? I don't know.
We were speaking or discussing with Bhaktivinoda Purna Maharaj in Mayapur about this, how actually in spiritual world, like parallel, pastimes happening at the same time. So you can find yourself anywhere, and it makes perfect sense to be there. You don't miss any of the, but you can be like, you know, because the time and space is non-existent. So it's happening all the time, all the pastimes.
Okay. Shishika Korni Taikija. Shipanstatrakija. That part's still a little beyond me.
It's beyond it.
Okay, we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.